Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. This week we have the draft lottery, free agency starting, and wrapping up the World Series right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. My name is Brad, and I'm joined by our fearless leader on my left, Brig. How are you tonight with your Fresca?
I am drinking Fresca. I'm happy about it, and I get to talk about baseball with you, Brad. I love that.
Excellent. Very good. I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. We have so much to get into. We need to put that on T-shirt, Brig. I think that needs to happen. Because one of the things I love is that as soon as the season ends, it's like, okay, who's a free agent? Where are they going? What are they doing? And there's like all kinds of stuff that goes on. I'm surprised that baseball is not more of a 12-month sport, because literally, like I said, as soon as the World Series ends, all this stuff starts up, and it's like, okay, let's kick up that hot stove, see what's going on. We got the Culture Club, aka the Contemporary Baseball Era Hall of Fame Committee, has released their ballot. So let's get into that, Brig. What do you say?
Yes. I say yes.
I say yay. Here we go. So, like I said, the Culture Club, aka the Contemporary Baseball Era Hall of Fame Committee, has released their ballot. They have eight former players on there. We have Albert Bell, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Don Mattingly, Dale Murphy, Fred McGriff, Rafael Palmeiro, and Curt Schilling. Looking at this, I see a few that, quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they got in. I said when we did our Braves Mount Rushmore that I thought Dale Murphy belongs in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I think he should get in here. I think Don Mattingly deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Donnie Baseball is going to get in. This is exactly where he fits in, and it's excellent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Do you think Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get in? With the Culture Club. Yeah.
Do you?
I think probably so. I don't know if Rafael Palmeiro will, because those three guys are all attached to steroids, whether they used or not. Like, Roger Clemens is going to deny it for the rest of his life. Barry Bonds is going to deny it for the rest of his life.
Totally.
But there is evidence pointing to the contrary. I do think that they will get in, but I don't know that Rafael Palmeiro is on that next level of guys who did test positive for steroids.
Right.
He was like one of those guys who was good and was great, whereas Bonds was great and then legendary with steroids.
Just stratospheric. Yeah.
And I think that's the level that guys have to be if they're attached to steroids. They have to be the legendary level. You can't be great. A great player can get in the Hall of Fame, but you got to be legendary if you are on steroids. And that's one of the reasons I feel like Bonds will get in.
He will. I think Clemens will get in for the same reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But the guys who deserve it, like Donnie Baseball, deserves it.
Absolutely.
Because there's literally nothing to besmirch his name. There's no question. There's nothing but good to say about him from his teammates, from the people who've played for him, all of his managers, all the fans. Like, everybody loves Don Mattingly. So,
right.
This is what the Culture Club is for. And it's awesome.
It is. I do think it's funny. I thought it was funny that I saw Albert Bell on there because he was really good for like 3 years, I felt like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Fred McGriff. Fred McGriff, I feel like, really benefited from playing for the Braves.
Yeah.
Because those were his peak years, so everybody saw him, you know? But other than that, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Curt Schilling, I think, could get in and probably should get in.
He should. Yeah, because the only reason he's not in now is because everybody hates him.
Right, yeah.
The personality problem. But this is where he should get in as well. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, the candidates must receive 75% of the votes on the ballots. The ballots will be cast by a 16-member Culture Club, is what we call them. And those selected will be inducted July 23rd, 2023. So that's how this is going to work. So
very cool. So we'll keep an eye out for that, because it is fun to see guys who like probably should have gotten in, but didn't. Like I said, Dale Murphy should be in. And that was like forever ago. Right.
Yeah.
And same thing with Donnie Baseball and Schilling.
Donnie just didn't ever play in a postseason up until the very last year of his career. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's a problem. And that's a problem for the team that he played for. Just like Ken Griffey Jr.'s problem was the team that he played for just never made it to the World Series.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rossita got that last vote. Just say it.
Probably would have. I bet if he had played in a World Series, he would have gotten that last vote.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
What's the difference? Yeah. So there's your Culture Club Hall of Fame ballot. Let's move on and talk about draft lottery. So guys who are legendary to guys who have not played yet. Now, Major League Baseball is changing things up to curb non-competitive behavior, a.k.a. tanking.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to the draft lottery in the new collective bargaining agreement. And I think it's a great way to go. The NBA does it, and the NBA does it. It helps, right? For the most part, if I feel like there's no halfway point, right? Like teams are going to be like, okay, if we're going to be bad, we got to be bad all year long so we can get a lottery spot. And anyway, it helps for the most part, I feel like. So this is the new structure of the MLB draft as far as how the lottery works. Picks 1 through 6 will be determined by lottery. So if you have the 6th worst record in MLB, you have a chance to get the first pick. So if you're going to tank, you just have to be one of the 6 worst teams to get that lottery pick.
Yeah. And those teams are the Nationals, the Athletics, the Pirates, Reds, Royals, Tigers, Rangers, Rockies, and Marlins.
So now one thing that is funny is that the Rangers were not tanking this year. They were not trying to be bad. They spent a whole bunch of money trying to be good, and they still ended up bottom 6, which is really interesting to me.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because I think they're the only team on that list who didn't tank.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rockies, but they were just in a tough division.
I don't think the Rockies tanked.
Yeah, I don't think so. They were just that bad. But anyway, and then picks 7 through 18 are non-postseason, non-lottery teams in reverse order from the previous year's standings. So that would just be the team with the 7th worst record has the 7th pick, and all the way through number 18. Picks 19 through 22, wild card series losers. Picks 23 through 26, division series losers. The Mariners would fall into that category. Picks 27 and 28 are the championship series losers. That would be the Yankees would fall in there.
Yeah.
And then pick 29 is going to be the Phillies because they're the World Series loser. And then pick 30 is the World Series winner. The Houston Astros will have that pick. I remember when when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, when the NFL draft came around, my buddy is like, man, I really hate having the 32nd pick in the draft.
Yeah. Number 32.
Yeah. He's like, did you see what I did there? That was nice. Really good.
It was so good.
Very good. I like it.
Yeah, so, picks number 19 through 30 are already set in stone. Like the Rays are 19, Blue Jays 20, 21 Cardinals, 22 Mets, etc., all the way to the Astros at number 30.
That's right. Yep. So keep an eye on the draft lottery coming up. That's going to be December 6th. That's a Tuesday. There will be a live broadcast on MLB Network at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for that, so we can actually watch that unfold. That'll be fun. Yeah, I like that. I always like watching the NBA draft lottery to see how that unfolds. I'm excited that baseball is doing it now.
Yeah,
I think it's a good way to do things. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Matt Holliday. He still has not touched home plate, by the way. Breaking news for everyone.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Brad's still bitter.
But legitimate breaking news about Matt Holliday. He has been brought on as the bench coach for the St. Louis Cardinals. Good for him. I think this is a great thing for him.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a guy who would do well as a manager. He seemed like he was popular among his teammates. The only reason I make that joke all the time is because I watched so much Rockies baseball that year. Because of where I was living. And yeah, really I felt like his teammates really liked him a lot, and he's a great leader, and he'd make a great manager. Eventually he will get that call, I feel like, and he's gonna be a big league manager in probably 3, 4, maybe 5 years from now.
Yeah, he's a great choice. When he was playing for the Yankees, he was huge culturally in the clubhouse and with leadership and sort of bringing that mellow to the team. It was a big deal.
Yeah, that's cool. And it, yeah, I think it's great for him. I love seeing former players who played in our time that we watched play. You know, I like seeing these guys come in to be managers, like Rocco Baldelli. I was really excited for him when he got the job with the Twins. So that's very cool. Good for him. Now, let's get into this real quick before we take a break. Awards finalist. And by real quick, I mean, this is going to take some time. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
First off, we have Gold Glove winners. They have been announced. Let's get into it. Brig, do you want to lead us off with the National League?
Yeah, I'll take you through the National League. Gold Glove National League Award winners. Catcher, JT Realmuto for the Phillies. First base, Christian Walker, Diamondbacks. Second base, Brendan Rodgers for the Rockies. Shortstop, Dansby Swanson for the Braves. Third base, Nolan Arenado for the Cardinals. Left field, Ian Happ for the Cubs. Center field, Trent Grisham for the Padres. Right field, Mookie Betts for the Dodgers. Pitcher would go to Max Fried, Braves. And this year's utility player goes to Brendan Donovan for the Cardinals.
Very cool.
I'm so excited about the utility player Gold Glove. Can we sit and talk about how great that is for a minute?
I think it's awesome because I feel like the utility player is so important to every roster, but they get zero love. Zero love at all. Yeah.
Oh, man. And you could reach way further back into baseball history to name this award, the Utility Player Award, but it should have its own award, and you could call it the Ben Zobrist Award, and it would be totally appropriate.
You could. You know what? The NBA has the Sixth Man of the Year Award. They should have a Utility Player of the Year Award.
They should.
I think you're right. Yeah. Take I'm it beyond like the Gold Glove. Yeah.
The Gold Glove is great. They should have that. But then make one guy the ultimate utility player of the year in each league.
Yeah.
And maybe even do away with the Gold Glove for that if you want. I don't care. As long as I want one of the two.
Trade. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. I think we need to send an email to Rob. Let him know that we have this idea.
We'll call him tomorrow. On FaceTime.
Got him on speed dial.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But at this
point, I'm excited that Christian Walker got one with the D-backs because next year when I go to games, that's just one more Gold Glove I get to go look at in the museum they have out there.
Yeah, super, it's a cool museum.
It's way cool. If you haven't been to Chase Field, go check that museum out. It's really cool. You get to see a commissioner's trophy. I had never seen one before because the stadium I've been to most of my entire life was the Mariners. So anyway. Yep. All right, the American League. The American League catcher is Jose Trevino with the New York Yankees. First base, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the third with the Blue Jays. Second base, Andrés Giménez with the Guardians. Shortstop, Jeremy Peña with the Astros. No surprise there. Third base, Ramon Urias with the Orioles. Left field, Steven Kwan with the Guardians. Good for him. Center field, Miles Straw with the Guardians. Right field, Kyle Tucker with the Astros. No surprise there. And the pitcher is Shane Bieber with the Guardians. And utility player is DJ LeMahieu with the Yankees. Finally getting his due.
Finally.
He would be utility player of the year, like every year, too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you just name it the DJ
LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu. Yeah. I totally agree with you. This is the first Yankee to win a Gold Glove since Brett Gardner did it in 2016, by the way.
That's really interesting.
Which is an astonishing statistic that I think is worth noting.
Well, I mean, you had Trevino, but so they're the first two.
But that's what I mean. Like these guys are the first ones.
Yeah. That's since, crazy.
2016.
That's absolutely.
And Trevino, can we just announce that Trevino is far superior to Gary Sanchez? Thank you.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Especially defensively, because Gary Sanchez is a mess defensively. They don't even have him catching in Minnesota.
Yeah. No. The appropriate, I think the scientific response to that here is, thank you.
You almost got a spit take out of me, Brick.
Yeah. I feel quite strongly.
Yes.
He's great. He's an appropriate DH. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's his position is DH.
He does not belong behind the plate.
No, he doesn't.
Unless he's in Oakland, that'd be okay.
And I think I told you several years ago, well, you got Sean Murphy there. You don't want to take him out from behind the plate.
Is he still going to be there, though?
Probably. I'm sure he will. He'll probably be there the rest of his life. But I think I told you several years ago that it hurt my eyes to watch Gary Sanchez play behind the plate.
Yeah, you did. And I was Team Gary back then a little bit. So I,
you were,
you definitely called it way before the rest of us did. Well done.
Well, thank you. Yeah. All right, let's move on to awards finalists. Those have been announced. They are officially announced today. We have our Rookie of the Year finalists, Manager of the Year, Cy Young Awards, and MVP Award finalists. For the American League, I'll just get right into the American League here. For the MVP, the big daddy of them all, you've got Yordan Alvarez with the Astros, Aaron Judge with the Yankees, and, of course, Shohei Ohtani with the Angels. Go ahead with the NL, and then we'll do predictions for the MVPs after we get into the NL.
Okay, National League MVP award finalists: Paul Goldschmidt, first base for the Cardinals, super duh. Nolan Arenado, third base for the Cardinals, and also with the Cardinals. No, I'm just kidding. But we do have Manny Machado, third base for the Padres, the Friars. That's the National League MVP finalists. Brett, who do you got?
Interesting picks. So for the AL, I'm going to go with Judge. You can't have the kind of year he had and not win the MVP, even though I feel like Shohei Ohtani is literally the most valuable player in the league.
Yeah.
I think that you can't give it to him every year, so I think Judge gets it with the year he had. The fact that he hit 62 home runs and then still even finished in the running for a Triple Crown, please, you don't give it to anybody else.
Well, and don't forget how wonderful he is as a defender. Like, he's just a terrific defender.
Right. Yeah, this is the thing, I've always felt like he is a good defender, but I feel like he is even better this year than he's been before. It was more than just the arm. It was the glove, too.
The glove, yeah, and the hustle. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
for sure. Aaron Judge all the way for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the National League, who do you have there?
Goldie? Yeah, Paul Goldschmidt.
I would like to see Machado win one, but Goldschmidt with the year that he had, he was contending for a Triple Crown up until like the last week of the season almost. I think you've got to give it to him for sure.
You have to. And I'm with you. I want Machado to win one. And Machado stepped it up quietly in years previous with the Friars. This year with Tatis bowing out because of his stupidity, we now have Machado stepping up in a far more substantial leadership role. I think that has value, but it's not statistical value. There's no empirical data to back up the leadership. So that's the reason you can't give it to Machado over Paul Goldschmidt. That's the only reason, but that's why.
Yep. I agree. Because I think if they were to take into account the role guys had in the clubhouse, it would get a whole lot messier. So I think they have to just look, this is what's going on the field.
But totally.
Anyway, all right, let's go into Cy Young. AL Cy Young, we've got Dylan Cease with the White Sox, Alec Manoah with the Blue Jays, and Justin Verlander with the Astros as your American League Cy Young Award finalists.
National League Cy Young Award finalists: Sandy Alcantara, right-handed pitcher for the Marlins, Max Fried, left-handed pitcher for the Braves, and Julio Urias, left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers.
For the American League, as much as I hate to say it, you've got to give it to Justin Verlander.
Me too.
Just because you don't finish sub-2 ERA at 39 years old after Tommy John and not win an award for it.
Yeah. Yeah. 185 strikeouts, not just sub-2, but 1.75 ERA. It's insane.
Yeah. Yep. And
if he wins this year, he'll be the 11th pitcher to win 3.
Wow. Good for him. Who do you have in the National League?
Sandy all the way. You?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not even close.
No,
not even close.
These other guys are nice. They're fun.
Right. Urias had a great year. Had a great year.
He did. So did Max.
Max Fried is going to have plenty of opportunities, most likely, to win one. But few guys have the year that Alcantara had with the Marlins. So, yeah, he's gonna win it all the way. And the one that I've been waiting for all year now, Brig, the Rookie of the Year. The American League Rookie of the Year finalists, we have Stephen Kwan with the Guardians, Julio Rodriguez,
Julio!
With the Mariners, and Adley Rutschman with the Orioles.
National League Rookie of the Year finalists, Brendan Donovan with the Cardinals, Michael Harris II with the Braves, and Spencer Strider with the Braves. We all know who you have, Brad. Braves.
Oh, yeah. 1,000% I've got Julio.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I think I would have gone with Adley Rutschman had he come into the league just a little sooner.
if he had a full season, it would be much tighter.
Yeah.
But with Julio coming in and setting records the way that he did as a rookie, that there's no way anybody else can win it. So no.
He's one of three. I'm reading this. He's 21 years old. He's one of three rookies ever to win both 25 home runs, or excuse me, to have both 25 home runs, 25 steals since Mike Trout.
The first since Mike Trout.
Yeah, and one of three ever.
Yeah, yeah. You can't not give him the rookie of the year.
No, you have to. So, yeah. What about the National League? Who do you have in the National League?
I'd probably give it to Spencer Strider.
Why you got to be picking my picks, bro?
Oh, did I? That's funny.
Baseball family, we overlap a lot, but this is outrageous.
This is outrageous. But I think it's also just like a lot of this is like a super duh, right?
It's a little bit of a no-brainer.
Like they almost have to put guys in here as finalists just as a formality to fill out the ballot or something or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I think Strider's your guy all the way. Absolutely.
Yeah, and because he's a rookie, he's just out of the, Cy Young opportunities. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, okay. I think he'd be in the Cy Young talks. But
he could be. Yeah, he very well could be. Okay, American League Manager of the Year, your candidates or your finalists are Terry Francona of the Guardians, Brandon Hyde of the Orioles, and Scott Service of the Mariners.
National League Manager of the Year, finalists, Dave Roberts of the Dodgers, Buck Showalter of the Mets, Brian Snitker of the Braves.
So
you know
who I am. We'll get into that. You know who I have in the American League. Obviously Scott Service. I feel like he's so deserving. And I said this at the beginning of the season, he was going to be deserving because the Mariners are going to make the playoffs. And I still think that's why he's deserving. Even with the talent that he had on that team.
I would love to see Scott Service win it. I'm going to go with Brandon Hyde. Because the turnaround was insane.
Yeah. It was insane. Like absolutely.
We all had whiplash. I still have whiplash.
Yeah. Oh, and especially at the trade deadline, we're like, what are you doing getting rid of Mancini?
Right.
Oh, you're better without him? What the?
What? You're going to bring in a bunch of rookies? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. You're still just barely going to miss the playoffs? What?
Yeah, it worked. And I would give, like, nothing against Terry Francona. He's great. But this is more about Terry's players. Than it is about, like, well, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say.
This is the thing. So, like, there are certain guys who could win it every single year, right? Like, I'm going to go back
to
NBA. Like Greg Popovich, Phil Jackson, Jerry Sloan, those guys could have won Coach of the Year every single year. But you've got to give it to a guy who has an outstanding year doing something above and beyond, right? And so right. I could absolutely see for that reason – the argument for Brandon Hyde.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I think it deserves to be Brandon Hyde.
And that's one of the reasons that I say with Scott Service, though, is because he got the monkey off the back of an entire organization of a two-decade-long playoff drought.
Well, but Brandon Hyde took the ballpark attendance from like 3,000 a game to like 27,000 a game or some craziness.
Right. Yeah, he did. I thought you were going to stop at the number three, not say 3,000. No. fans.
He made three roster moves and it, 10x'd his attendance in the stadium.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's amazing. Can we move on, though?
Because let's get to the NL.
The National League Manager of the Year has a huge problem here. Philly Robb is nowhere on this list.
Right.
I am not happy. In fact, I'm offended. How long he was in there.
And that's why.
I don't care. What he was able to do is insane.
Right. The turnaround was something else, right? Was unreal that he was able
to
take that team from where they were to make the playoffs. And then you cannot include the playoff run.
Right? No, you can't.
It's a regular season award. You cannot say right. He took him from that to the World Series. No, he took him from that to the playoffs. But I think part of it is they were supposed to make the playoffs.
I don't care.
With that roster, they're supposed to. And the fact that he was not there for the entire season, I think is another reason that they're like, no, we can't include him. That's why we're going to have Dave Roberts, who won 111 games, Buck Showalter, who was incredibly dominant with the Mets all season long, and then Brian Snitker, who kept the Braves were the best team for a long stretch of the season.
Yeah.
Like their winning percentage for like, what was it, like July to the end of September was better than anybody, even the Dodgers.
And the Braves did strike out more than everybody else for the first like 60 days of the season.
Yeah, a huge turnaround.
So there is a huge turnaround there. I don't mind that Buck is on the list. And you can't not have Dave Roberts on the list with 111 wins.
Right.
And what was it, a 20-something game lead in his division?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My argument against Buck Showalter, though, is that, again, like with Philly Rob, the Phillies were supposed to be there. With that amount of talent, the Mets should be there.
Yes. Right?
Like, how much of that was really Buck Showalter?
Plenty, probably.
It very well could be, but I feel like the Mets, with the amount of talent they have on that team, they're supposed to be where they were.
Yeah.
They probably should have won the division. Like, maybe you take Buck Showalter off because they didn't win the division when they should have.
See, and that's where I think you make a valid argument, because the Braves climbed back and took it, just stole it. Right. It was like capture the flag on national television.
Yeah.
And that's, I say that's why Buck Showalter doesn't get the award.
Yeah, he shouldn't
on the list. He shouldn't get it. No way.
No.
Think of the weird decisions he made going into the playoffs, that last couple of series against the Yankees, right? Just that last, the Subway series, those couple of games where he didn't start DeGrom. Like, it makes no sense.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's made some weird decisions that I think you move Buck out, you put Philly Rob in, and then Philly Rob wins. That's my pick, is Philly Rob.
Of the available finalists,
Snicker.
I've got to give it to Dave Roberts.
I'm giving it to Snicker. Hey, we disagreed. That's wonderful.
I knew we would on that one.
I got to give it to Snicker because of the strikeouts and all that.
Yeah, and turning it around.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to talk about free agency. It's so exciting.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
Baseball family, welcome back. Thanks for taking that quick break with us, and thanks for coming back to join us. We have free agency stuff on the menu for you today. The hot stove is lit. It is sizzling. The oil is hot, and here we go. First things first, we have to remind everybody that there are a lot of guys on the list of this year's free agency pool. It is a pretty overwhelming stack of talent, I would say. And yeah. But the detail that we cannot let get lost in the sauce is that the shift is going to be banned for the 2023 campaign. And that, I think, is going to play a huge role in who goes where and how they're valued on the trade market and the free agency market right this season. That's what I think. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Guys like Joey Gallo, Luke Voit, and Anthony Rizzo even.
Yeah.
When without a shift, I'm not going to say that they're batting average or OPS will skyrocket, but it will certainly go up, and they'll provide a lot more value to any lineup that they're in.
Yeah, I think Rizzo's going to benefit tremendously. I think Voit definitely benefits from this, and I can see Gallo benefiting from this too.
Yeah, absolutely. Gallo, sure. Carlos Santana, he was one of the top two or three shifted on guys all season long. Same thing with Cal Raleigh, top two or three guy who was shifted on all season long. Those guys are going to have major benefits from it, and I'm actually really looking forward to it, because we're going to get back to baseballs getting in play and guys getting on the bases, so it'll be a lot of fun.
First things first, Edwin Diaz is already off the market. The Mets signed him to a 5-year, $102 million deal. That's the largest ever for a reliever, and those of you with long memories, you remember other names that could have gotten a bag of money. like this and did not. So this is the largest ever adjusted for inflation. Edwin Diaz will be with the Mets for 5 more years. So get your trumpets out because it's happening.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how that 5 year, how those 5 years play out, because his 2021 season was not what he was in Seattle.
No.
And but then, you know, he came back this year, but like with a lot of closers and relievers, he could continue to go up and down.
Totally.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
The cool go ahead.
I bet he gets traded year 3.
I was going to say what I can see happening, and the cool thing about Edwin Diaz is I can see him flexing into a middle relief setup position as needed and then working his stuff back out, because he's never going to be bad. He's just not going to have lights out, door closing stuff always.
Right. Yeah.
But he'll always be worth that money, just maybe in a different role. I think that's okay. Come in as an opener every once in a while, a little later in that.
I don't know that he would get relegated to the opening role. I think if he does tail off, that he'll be like a setup guy, like Diego Castillo with the Mariners. He was a closer in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
He came to Seattle and he was Edwin Diaz, a setup man in Seattle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, so, and that's kind of what his role has been since then. So anyway,
well, all right, let's get into. What we want to do is we want to go down this list. And we've got 21 names on this list, and we're just going to read them off rapid fire. And I want Brad to tell me where he thinks they're going to go. And then we will get into some of these two or three that we think bear a ton of discussion. And we're going to do it that way. You ready, Brad?
I'm ready.
Okay. And then you can quiz me, but I'm going to quiz you first.
That'd be fun. All right.
Rapid fire style. Ready?
Yep.
Sean Manaea.
Angels.
Aaron Judge.
San Francisco.
Jacob DeGrom.
Astros.
Carlos Correa.
Dodgers.
Trey Turner.
Phillies.
Xander Bogaerts.
Mariners.
Justin Verlander.
Tigers.
Ooh. Whoa. Okay.
Go.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Brandon Nimmo.
Brewers.
Carlos Rodon.
Twins.
Dansby Swanson.
Twins.
Clayton Kershaw.
Dodgers.
Wilson Contreras.
Angels.
Anthony Rizzo.
Yankees.
Chris Bassett.
Blue Jays.
Whoa. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Josh Bell.
Red Sox.
Nate Eovaldi.
Guardians. Mets.
Jose Abreu.
I was going down the wrong part of my list. Guardians.
Andrew Benintendi.
Padres.
Ooh, Kenley Jansen.
Red Sox.
Andrew Haney.
Giants.
JD Martinez.
The Yankees.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yep. I think he's another guy who's going to benefit from the shift.
Totally.
Most definitely. I think Verlander goes home. I've been talking to Jason a lot, and a lot of talk in Philadelphia is that they're considering it a done deal that Trey Turner is going to the Phillies. Like, to the point that they're like, Gene Segura.
Yeah, he's out. Segura's out for sure. Philly's shopping a shortstop hardcore right now.
Big time.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
Yeah. Well, I think they want Turner to play second base.
I think so, too.
Because they got Bryson Stott at shortstop, and that's what I think it is. I think that they've got Segura going out, and then they're going to bring in Trey Turner to fill in the spot at second base.
Okay. And you think Trey Turner's okay with that?
I think he is.
Okay.
I think he would be. Yep.
That's fascinating. I'm glad you said that. And it'll make sense why I say they're shopping a shortstop and then said, I think so, too. When you said second base, because I have an idea.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you ready, Brick?
I'm ready.
Okay. Manaea.
San Diego.
Judge.
New York Mets.
DeGrom.
Texas.
Ooh. Correa.
Boston.
Turner.
Seattle, second base.
Bogaerts.
Pittsburgh.
Verlander.
Houston.
Okay. Nimmo.
And the only reason I put Bogarts in Pittsburgh is because I didn't know what to do with him. Back on. I just threw it out there. I don't actually believe anybody's going to Pittsburgh.
They have O'Neill Cruz anyway.
I don't care, Brad. I needed something. I just put Pittsburgh. Shut up.
Play second base. He'll play second base in Pittsburgh. Okay. Okay. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Nimmo.
Mets.
Rodon.
Texas Rangers.
Swanson.
Re-signs in Atlanta.
Kershaw.
Dodgers.
Contreras.
St. Louis.
Rizzo.
Boston.
Bassett.
Baltimore.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
You That's just wait. Good.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Bell.
Baltimore.
Abreu.
San Diego.
Benintendi.
Toronto.
Uvalde.
Toronto.
Jansen.
Atlanta.
Heaney.
The Mets.
And JD Martinez.
The Yankees.
Oh!
Yes, sir.
I see that. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's funny. The only one we overlapped on was JD was Martinez. The
crazy one.
Very good. I like that. Yeah. So let's talk. Can we talk Dansby Swanson just for a minute?
And then
there's a couple I want to. Let's just talk shortstop position for a minute.
Okay. It's a big deal.
Shortstop/ second base, because I want to talk about this. So first off, Dansby Swanson, you have him staying in Atlanta. You think they'll pony up the money despite having paid everybody else what they've paid them?
Yep.
You don't think they're going to try to pull a Matt Olson?
Houston? What do you mean, pull a Matt Olson?
Go for somebody else who would be fine signing for a little bit less money.
Who
might actually be an upgrade.
Like who? That's the problem. Know. Unless they know That's something true. About their farm system, like the Jeremy Pena situation in Houston, that we don't know, which is possible. But I say that's right. The only reason they get rid of Dansby. Unless they're going to go throw a bag of money at one of these other four guys.
Because that's the thing. Is like, I wonder if... Because this is the question. Is what value are you getting out of the player for what you're paying? Like, is it worth paying Dansby Swanson what he wants versus what you would get out of a Carlos Correa for paying a little bit more? Would it be worth upping?
Can you afford a little bit
that
more?
Contract? That I don't know. They're already paying a whole lot of money for a bunch of other guys.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think you take the discount, because even Dansby Swanson's desired amounts are going to be lower than Trey Turner and Correa, Carlos Correa,
and probably even Bogarts.
Even Bogarts, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
That's why I say he stays in Atlanta. But unless there's a kid in the farm system we don't know about, and that's possible.
Could be. Yeah, could
be.
They
take a developmental hit for the first 20, 30 games of the season? I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, they've shown that they can come back from that kind of
right.
That kind of hole.
Right. And Snitker knows what he's doing, so there's no – I don't have any issues there.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be right on that. Let's talk – what about Xander – or sorry, not Xander Bogaerts. Trey Turner. So I talked – a lot about Trey Turner with Philly.
Yeah.
Tell me more about this break.
JP Crawford is going to stay at shortstop.
Right.
No questions asked. I think that Trey Turner knows what he wants from culture. If he can get the money he wants, he'll go where the culture fit is. And I think he would be an amazing addition to the culture you guys have going on in Seattle.
I think you're absolutely right. And you know what? When I said Bogarts, I had him at second base too.
Right.
Because JP Crawford is staying at shortstop.
That's right. So I think if the Mariners are smart, then they throw a bag of money at him, because they're not paying a bag of money to a lot of people right now.
Right.
They can throw a bag of money at a guy like Trey Turner, who has tons of leadership capabilities, tons of postseason experience. Oh, and he could really anchor this 2023 run you keep talking about.
He could big time. I would love to have Trey Turner on that team, like so much.
Especially with the shift ban and now all the balls in play and all the stolen base opportunities and Trey Turner's freaking wheels, dude. Like, it would be pandemonium.
Well, Seattle likes to run too. And this is the other thing, is that second base over the last few years has been a position where guys haven't had to have a lot of range because they put that second baseman, like you see Altuve playing a shallow right field. He's not playing second base. He's playing shallow right field. But now with the shift ban, the rule is cleats on the dirt. So you've got to have a second baseman who has better range.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you don't have your shortstop behind second base anymore. Right.
Brilliant.
So it makes sense. And that's exactly, I'm sure that's exactly what DePoto is going to be wanting to look for, is a second baseman with range. So why not move 100%. A shortstop over there?
100%. And if you can get one of these guys, it doesn't even have to be Trey Turner. We just know Trey Turner can really do well at second base.
Yeah.
That's why I think if you're lucky, Seattle ends up with Trey Turner.
I think you're right. And you know what? He's played a lot of second base in his career.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was primarily a second baseman in 2021 with the dot when he went to the Dodgers. Was more a second baseman than anything his rookie season.
I don't get the impression that he's gonna say, and if I'm not a shortstop, I'm not doing it. I don't get that impression from him. I think he wants to be on the right team at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think Seattle's a great place to do that.
He would definitely put him over the top.
Oh yeah,
because that's the bat they need. Yep. That's the
speed,
that's the position they
the
need.
Glove, the
speed. Oh my,
the leadership. Goodness. Look at you!
Please don't get my hopes up.
Just look at you, Brad. I don't know if it'll come true, but that's the perfect fit for Seattle, and it could be a perfect fit for Trey Turner.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. I've thought it's a perfect fit for so long. I've talked myself out of it. Just because I don't want to, like I said, I want to get my hopes up and get let down. That Xander Bogaerts is like my bargain version of Trey Turner. And I'm like, just fine with him being a second baseman.
Totally.
But Trey Turner is like,
it'd be good. It'd be fine. But Trey Turner is what you want.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I would be fine with Correa, but he's going to want to play shortstop, which would put JP Crawford to second base. And I think that JP Crawford would make a fine second baseman. And having those two up the middle would be amazing.
Unbelievable.
And having his bat in the lineup would be amazing too. But
unbelievable.
So I think JP Crawford is going to stick a shortstop.
I think so too. Let's shift to Verlander. You really think he's going to go home to Detroit for his last season, last two seasons, or whatever it ends up being?
He doesn't have anything left to do. Why not?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, he proved this year that he's like the man, and he did say that they're going to have to peel that jersey off of him, you know, when it's time to go. But I don't think that'll be the case. I think he's got more self-awareness than Tom Brady does. And when Kate Upton says, "I want you home," he's going to be like, "Okay."
Do they live in Detroit?
I don't know, but it's the travel thing, right?
Yeah. Wherever she is.
Yeah, wherever their home is, eventually she's going to want him there. Because that's why Tom Brady's single now, is because Gisele Bündchen wanted him home, wherever home was. And he said, "I want to go do this some more." So I think Justin Verlander values his relationship more than that. And when it's time to be done, he's going to be done. That's going to be the end of it. So I think 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Detroit, has a little homecoming there, a farewell tour, one, maybe 2 years. I don't know.
It'll be two, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what happens.
It looks like they live in Florida.
And why wouldn't they?
Well, and that's where they live, near the Astros spring training facility is what it looks
like. Okay, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
They also live in Virginia. They have a home in Virginia.
Probably
that's amazing what you can
probably have a home in Houston.
Yeah, I just Googled that. That's a little uncomfortable. Sorry, I didn't mean to invade your privacy there, Justin. Not what I intended at all. Okay, let's talk a couple of these names. You said Rizzo's going where?
I think he's going back to the Yankees.
I think it's entirely possible, but I also think it's possible that he goes back to the organization that brought him up in Boston, because they need a first baseman.
They do. Yeah, that's why I put Josh Bell there.
Yeah, they need a first baseman. Josh Bell would be great there, but I think, you know, it's gonna come down to culture, and right now I think the Yankees hemorrhage culture. I think they're literally they're rotting from the inside out.
Yeah, and it's seeping into the stands.
It is, and everybody hates it. I'm mm-hmm. right there. And Rizzo is such a culture dude. It's such, he's just emotional enough to say, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised, honestly, that the Red Sox don't attract more left-handed power hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talk about the short porch in New York. It is way shorter in Boston and literally shorter. Like, that right field wall is like 2 feet high.
It's 2 feet high. How far is it, though? Because that's that right field alley they have out there.
It's 306 down is the it? Line. Yeah, it is super short down the right field line.
Wow.
And then it juts out, and I want to say it goes to like 326, 330, yeah. something like that. But still. It's still short. And then you've got that massive alley in center field.
Yeah.
Like right center field right there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why left-handers don't go to Boston.
Yeah, I don't either. That's interesting. Mike, what do you think, Mike? Let's call
yeah,
Mike.
That's, we'll call yeah, Mike. We'll call Mike. But that's been confusing to me for decades, Brig.
Literally yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that I like that. I really do think that, like, if they can pay him and they have what it takes to win, I don't know what happened this year with Boston. It was mind-boggling. I have no idea. Yeah. But if they have what it takes to win, so
yeah,
and the culture's better, clearly.
Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's just that Yankees make the headlines and the Red Sox don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's to say?
Maybe that's just because this season they made the headlines with all the other headlines. I don't know. It's a crazy situation in New York. That's what I know.
It very well.
Any other names you want to get into that are interesting?
Where did you have DeGrom going again?
Texas.
The Rangers.
Yeah.
They could certainly use him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's and you know, with his shoulder issue, like, I love me some Jacob DeGrom. Don't get me wrong. But with his shoulder issue, that does feel like a problem that a lot of teams aren't going to offer him the kind of money that he wants. And I feel like the Rangers would. But I also feel like the Astros would, because the Astros have such a deep starting rotation anyway that, like, if Verlander goes, if Verlander leaves, yeah. right, they're going to be like, well, we need to bring in somebody new.
Yeah,
let's bring in DeGrom. Another ace replace the ace. We can lighten his load with the guys we have around him, and it will work just fine. That's why I thought the Astros. But I think Texas makes sense, too, because they need pitching in a major way.
Yep, they do. And big think time. Of what he could infuse into the younger guys coming up that they're making up that team with. Mm-hmm. Could be really cool. I don't know. I just think that it's also not New York at all.
Right. Not even close.
Not even close.
It's about as far away from that environment as you get.
Exactly. And the people in Texas love their guys. Just love them.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get up and down fan love and hate and all that junk like you get in New York. And yeah, I feel like what Texas is trying to build is really steady. It's slow, but it's smooth. And if they can keep being slow and smooth, we're going to be in good shape in Texas. So I think he'd be a good fit there.
I think you're right. I think it'd be a great spot for him, big time. And, I mean, you've got some studs there. You've got Corey Seager, Simeon, Adolis Garcia.
Yeah. They're just.
And I think he's got a really good catcher in Jonah Heim, too.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
So I think it's a good spot for him. I think both of us, in a way, are going to be right that he's going to be in Texas.
Good chance. That's awesome.
And I hadn't even thought about that until today, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
How much both of those places make sense.
They do make sense. Huh. And we're going to be way wrong, too. It's totally possible. Because there are 28 other options.
Literally, yes.
The most meaningless predictions.
And then when we do get one right, we take the victory lap. And then we disregard all the others that we get wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how predictions work. All right, we take a quick break and we get back. Let's go ahead and wrap up the World Series. How about it?
The Nonther Sports Podcast. The Nonther Sports Podcast is the home of sports talk for everyone. Every other week, you can catch David and Jason as they talk about all things sports. From current events to classic moments and everything in between, you can find the Nonther Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and more. please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Welcome back, baseball family. So the World Series wrapped up the other day, and if you have not been paying attention or forgot or something, I don't know, the Houston Astros won. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2. There you have it. Thanks for joining. We'll catch you next week. Thank you. But despite that all being true, we're not going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up this series by actually talking about things that we saw, some takeaways, things like that. It was really interesting. So Jewel and I recorded the final episode this year of the Seattle Baseball Together podcast last night, and we were talking about how the Phillies played the Astros. And it was really interesting, some of the things that we came – I guess some of the conclusions that we came to, that we still felt like the Mariners were the most competitive team against the Astros the entire postseason. Because you look at what happened with Philly. Yes, they won 2 games. The Mariners were not able to win any. But in those 2 games that the Phillies won, one of them, the Astros pitcher was tipping his pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Lance McCullers got lit up, right?
Yeah.
And then in the other one, you had a traditional, I guess traditional, Justin Verlander World Series start.
Yep.
Other than that, they're completely shut down to the point that they got no hit in the World Series.
Like, facts.
That's how dominant the Houston Astros were in the World Series. It was really interesting to kind of like talk through it all and come to that conclusion that like it wasn't quite as competitive as it looked.
You're right. Yeah. Now, once you break it down like that, in hindsight being 2020, that's true, because the devil is in the details, and that's where they got picked apart. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
They only led game one for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, something like that is what Nick Castellanos said. He's like, takes 15 minutes to hold a lead. That's all you got to do. But sorry, yeah, go ahead. Awesome. I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was saying that on Instagram, one of our followers on Instagram went back after the World Series ended to comment on my game one predict or a game one takeaway. And he said, well, that didn't age well. I thought it was really good. I haven't commented back yet, but I mean to. So if you're listening, I got you. You're right, and it's awesome.
It is funny, though, that after game one, I think mostly for game one for all of us, it was the shock, right? The Phillies were able to come out and just punish Verlander the way they did. It's like, well, maybe they can do something here, because they do have a ton of firepower in that lineup. They should be getting home runs off of everybody. But the other thing we saw is that home runs aren't going to win you the World Series.
Listen, Brad, that's exactly right. That's all I had to say. You're right.
Well, there we go.
The end.
So one of my takeaways from game six. So I did takeaways for game six. And one of the things I said was the 2017 Astros brought you launch angle and won the World Series that way. Aside from everything else, right? Their philosophy was launch angle. Totally. And then everybody went with it after that. But now, 2022, the Astros are like, okay, we are good at hitting dingers. That will get us to the World Series. But the thing that's going to take us over the top and help us win the World Series is pitching. So they relied so heavily on their pitching this entire postseason run. During the World Series, the Astros only averaged 3 2/3 runs per game.
Holy cow.
And they still won it.
Postseason?
Well, in the World Series.
Series. Okay. I was like,
ugh. But I don't think it's much above that.
No, I think you're right.
An 8-7 game against the Mariners in game one of the division series is really going to up that number. But other than that, nothing else will.
I wonder what the run differential is. That's interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting that a team who didn't score a whole lot of runs, they did rely a lot on the home run, but in the World Series, it was stringing together doubles.
That's like, what was it,
game two? They started with 3 doubles in a row.
Yeah.
4 doubles in a row.
And Jeremy Peña, I feel like, was at the heart of all of that, especially during the postseason run while Altuve wasn't even functional.
Oh, yeah. Ice cold Altuve was a problem, but Jeremy Peña made up for all of it with working then, long at bats, getting Jordan Alvarez up, who, by the way, speaking of ice cold,
right, I was just almost say
forgot
that.
To show up to the World Series.
Almost. And then finally, he just decided that he would, I don't know, put his cleats on or something.
In game six,
it was pretty cool,
by the way.
Yeah.
Philly Rob decided to go lefty-lefty in a big moment. Mm-mm. He must have forgotten to watch game one of the division series. Where you don't put a left-handed pitcher up against Jordan Alvarez with two on. By the way, take note, jot that down.
Just put that in your pipe. Yeah, right. I agree. I don't know, man. It's astonishing. Those statistics are really interesting to me because it didn't feel dominant, right? It felt competitive for a lot longer than it was.
It did, because it fell for a lot of it. Even when the Phillies were down five when they're getting no hit.
Yeah, yeah.
You felt like eventually it's like, okay, well, they can't get no hit. It's the World Series, right? Like, something's got to break through, and then another one will break through, and they'll string them together, and they'll come back.
Yeah.
And they even drew walks late in the game where it's like, okay.
They did.
Like,
here we go.
Like, yeah, it's like, here we go. Okay, here's the opportunity. You know, put one in the gap. You got two guys coming around to score, and you're going to have a game again. But it just never happened. Pitching and defense was the calling card for the Astros this postseason, right. And it worked.
It worked. Yeah. It really did.
Yeah, they shut down the Phillies offense. They shut down big time the Yankees offense too.
Bro, it's the Yankees shut down the Yankees offense. Like, you have to give the Astros some credit, but you can't give them all the credit. That was some major internal struggling going on.
I think there was, but I wonder if some of the internal struggle came from frustration from the Astros pitching.
Sure.
Because they were so just good.
Unreal good.
Yeah. Starting pitching, bullpen, all of it front to back. And I'm curious if we're going to see a shift again, because professional sports are copycat leagues. Like, somebody wins, yeah. right? Like, the Astros won with Launch Angle in 2017, and everybody goes, let's go Launch Angle. And then you see it all across the league. But now it's going back to the old philosophy of pitching. And I'm curious if small ball goes along with that.
With the shift being banned.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And you've got your managers who are going to understand that, like Buck Showalter, like Dusty Baker, that are really going to they're going to shine. These old school managers are really going to have a heyday this year.
I think they will. And it'll be interesting to see how things like the bunt come into play, because it's almost been completely eliminated from the game.
Unless your name's Kyle Schwarber and you bunt yourself out of an at-bat. Oh, that was heartbreaking. I didn't understand that call. What was
he even doing?
I don't know if he was told to do it.
I don't think he was told to do it, because I don't know why any manager would ever tell a guy to bunt with two strikes. This is the thing I said. I was like, I understand it. Okay, Bregman shifted. He's in the shortstop position. Nobody's expecting ever a bunt with two strikes. But you know what happens sometimes when you try to do something that nobody's expecting to happen in a moment where they're not expecting it to happen? You throw a pick on the 1 yard line of the Super Bowl. That's what happens.
That's what happens. That's right.
You overthink it and you beat yourself.
You beat yourself. That's a great way to put it.
Weird.
It was weird. And infuriating, and also, like, that's baseball, Susan, right? Like,
that's baseball, Susan. That's
right. You're like, right. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Absolutely.
Big dummy.
Yeah. So, Brig, we talked going into the World Series about how some of the playoffs had been boring, right? Like, the ALCS was pretty boring with the way that the Astros dominated the Yankees. And, how did you feel about the World Series overall, though? Like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was fun to watch. And it's like you said, like, it didn't feel like domination in the moment. You had to go back and talk about it after to really figure out that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But no, I thought it was fun to watch. It was really enjoyable. And like I said, even when the Phillies were getting no hit, they were putting the ball in play and getting on base via walks. And you felt like it was just a matter of time for him to get back into it. And the anticipation, I felt more like I was watching a soccer game than anything, with the anticipation building up. It's the same energy. Like, good. Okay, here it goes. Oh, no. Yeah.
Regroup.
Still 0-0 in the 76th minute, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt with the Phillies.
It's a good analogy. That is how it felt. No, I thought it was great. I think that, for me, it's always the storylines, right? Like, Nick Castellanos saving that game with that heroic diving catch out in left field. That was amazing. The coming back from a 5-0 deficit for Philly was amazing. Verlander figuring it out in what, game four or whatever it was fantastic. I just thought, you know, for me, it's the storylines. And Jeremy Peña was my favorite part of the entire situation.
I know, and I was really upset that he was my favorite part because I can't cheer for a division rival, nor can I cheer for anybody on a division rival. But I was waiting for him to do something every single time he came up to bat, and he pretty much did.
Every time. His defense was impeccable the whole postseason, but especially in the World Series. And he committed a ton of errors early in the season. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Was it like 19 errors or some craziness?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really like, talk about comeback storylines and rookie, and then he won the MVP. It was fabulous. So much fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm already looking forward to next year, mostly because of my optimism for the Mariners, but it does curb it a little bit, though, like the Astros coming in as World Series champions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was not part of my prediction, was not the Astros winning the World Series this year. I thought that maybe they were going to start to tail off a little bit because they were losing guys and stuff like that. But it's like, well, shoot, now they've got Jeremy Peña. Kyle Tucker is going to be a legitimate MVP candidate next year, probably.
Yeah,
Jordan Alvarez totally will continue to be an MVP candidate next year. And the pitching is unbeatable. So what do?
You hire Trey Turner
as your second baseman.
You hire Trey Turner and you start zero and you build it all the way up.
Yep.
And you whip everybody. You got to beat the crap out of everybody in your division. But there's that new weirdo schedule this year with the blended schedule. So
yeah, the balanced schedule. Yeah.
You have to beat the teams you have to beat to come out on top this year, this 2023.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't like to compare year over year exactly just because rosters change, but I will be curious the plus or minus on the Astros, what, 101 wins this year?
Yeah.
And they even started slow and they won 101 games.
For sure.
Yeah. So I'm curious the plus or minus on that going into next year, like how they'll end next year with the balanced schedule, because they don't get to beat up on the A's every week.
Exactly.
You know, they don't get to beat up on the Rangers or the Angels. So. Or the Mariners, for that matter, because that's what they do.
I wasn't going to say it. But that's
one of the reasons I hate the Astros, because they always beat up on the Mariners.
That's right. So it'll be interesting because they're going to see the Yankees more, you know, than they would have during the regular season. They're going to see and then other teams that they never see, they're going to see them. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
but it's going to be great. They'll whoop up on Pittsburgh, you know, so we'll see.
Yep, that's right.
Balance out.
Yep. So, Brig, before we wrap this up, I have one question for you going into the offseason.
Okay.
What are your TV viewing plans now that there's not any baseball on until February and March?
I don't know if you know, but there's this really nifty activity called reading.
Oh, right.
That is so fun, actually. And it's wonderful. You don't have to be in front of a television screen all the time, Brad.
You're right.
You can read a book. Just grab one. I got them everywhere.
I know you do.
Because I don't read. I can't read as much during the season. And I'm going to be just mainlining books for the next little while, for the next 100 days or whatever. What are you going to do?
So that's actually one thing I'm going to be doing, is I have a list of books that I want to read this off season. But in a couple weeks, like, I am pumped for the World Cup, that it's going to be at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got 5 days off in a row over Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to mainline soccer into my veins this offseason. I'm very excited.
That's awesome.
So there's that.
And I'm baseball family, we want to hear from you. What are you planning on doing? And what are you going to read, honestly? And the reason we ask that is because we have a really exciting opportunity for you to get a little reading in this offseason with us. That's a tease.
That's right.
That's a tease. We're going to leave it at that. But I've got the book right here.
Oh, you're not going to show it?
No.
Amazing.
It's this
Fantastic.
One. It's this book right here, Baseball Family. And if you want to read it with Brad and I, you can.
Oh, I saw it. Maybe some eagle-eyed viewer on YouTube will be able to figure out what it is. But anyway, But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us this baseball season. That was a ton of fun. It's a wild ride, start to finish. I had a blast with all of it. My team obviously didn't end the way that I wanted to, but it's fine. That's the way it ends up for everybody but one fan base. So it is what it is.
Amen.
But like Brick said, let us know what you're going to be doing this offseason. Jump in the mailbag, baseballtogether.com, or the link down in the description. You can send us an email, and maybe we'll do an episode where we just throw those out and we talk about what everybody's going to be doing during the offseason.
That's a great idea.
So, yeah, that's a Brick, great idea. Go ahead and tell them about the shop.
Well, don't forget, we have a shop where you can buy stuff that's baseball-related and super cool. I've got my Baseball Together official podcast t-shirt on. Brad's wearing his perfect tee today. We have that design in hats, by the way, which is even better. The other thing I want to alert you to is that we've said this a couple of times, but in case you're new, we're not taking breaks. We'll be here every week throughout the remainder of the offseason to update you on the hot stove, winter meetings, shenanigans, and everything else going into spring training. So stick with us. We've got some really, really exciting interviews coming up that we cannot wait to unload on you or give you or whatever. We're really excited about it. But is one next week or the week after? I think it's next week, right?
Yeah, next week.
Next week we have one. Anyway, stay tuned for those and go to 9plusus.com and buy something cool if you want.
Yeah, very cool. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't forget as well, if you're on the internet spending money, you can head over to schnookseedery.com and you can use code BTPOD at checkout to support the show, support your mouth, get the best seeds ever. Trust us, they're fantastic. Absolutely delicious. We love them very much. But don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Let us know what you think about what we're doing. You can reach out in the comments if you like as well on YouTube. But if you do that, make sure you leave a like and also subscribe to the show. But baseball family, thank you so much for joining us this week. We will catch you next week.